You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The voice of Husker Nation is on the air. This is Hail Varsity Radio. Insight, opinion, expertise, along with the biggest names talking Nebraska sports. Join in with the show at 402-489-1240 or 1-800-825-5865. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and Elijah Herbel.
Welcome to it Mondays here at Hail Varsity. We're powered by Cornhead Lager, Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel, Connor Clark, as we are ready for some football, but we'll still spend some time on Nebraska basketball.
It's a great way to put it. We're ready for football. We saw Friday.
And, you know, that sounds a little shorthanded towards Fred and the company and Coach Williams and what they did. It was hilarious. I was catching a little bit of the women's game yesterday, and I wasn't paying as close of attention to it as should have. I didn't wake up from the old Sunday snoozer in time to see tip, and I asked the bunny, my wife, what's going on here? I mean, it's kind of out of hand, and I can't verbatim repeat on air and keep my job what she said to me, but it was hilarious. She's like, oh, it's totally home court for Oregon State. they're getting away with murder at Oregon State, and it was exemplified by the double elbow to the midsection. You get dropped like you're one of Elijah's favorite soccer players on the pitch. Difference being there was actual contact this time, and you know Nebraska fought hard but couldn't get it done. But we'll dive into some basketball, some final thoughts on this magical 2024 season for Fred and company and the Husker women as well. We'll dive into spring football as we are excited to see where Nebraska can go. The gift of high expectations, that comment rings and keeps ringing in my ears. The step towards those high expectations, very, very real. And they get the rubber meets the road for some players, some young guys, some old guys. Let's get you your starting lineup, our starting five. We shout out the first five in the stream. You're always welcome to catch the show live on the Hail Varsity YouTube channel, Hail Varsity Radio, Twitter at HVarsity Radio. Give that Twitter handle a follow. Find us on different platforms on social media. You can hear us in Central Nebraska, ESPN Superstation, Carney Hastings, Grand Island, News Talk 900, our friends in Columbus, here in Lincoln at KFOR, Facebook and Twitter, and of course our friends in Omaha, AM 590, Omaha's ESPN. Had a great time at Ameristar on Friday. Loved all of you coming up and saying hi to us, including the two lovely gals who bought and brought Rumplemint shots to us to clear out our cobwebs.
Yeah, we gotta stop that being a thing.
They prepared us for the under 16 timeout as the game resumed with Nebraska
and the parlay that was put together.
Geez, that was horrible.
Worst of all time.
We should have played sad, moving funeral music as we lit that parlay on fire.
Yeah, Friday was just a disaster in all ways,
really
shapes,
was.
And forms. Terrible shots, terrible parlays. The Husker game ended up with a terrible result. Just like everything about Friday could
Guys,
not have gotten
Wisconsin,
any worse.
Lock of the year.
Remember what we were talking about? Maybe it was off air about us maybe going to the Final Four and making the trip. Do you remember that part?
No.
Because I remember that conversation happening, and I was like,
I have no clue what you're saying.
I'm like, guys, hold on. But, you know, here we are. It was funny. Good times.
That is every Nebraska fan right before tip-off. That's every Nebraska fan on Beale Street. That's every Nebraska fan in line at the kiosk.
That's not saying that we think it's going to happen. That's saying we need to have contingency plans in place should it happen. Because that's what happens in the NCAA tournament is sometimes anything happens. Sometimes Texas A&M shoots 60% from three. Yeah.
And guess what? Okay. Sometimes they don't, and they still scare the hell out of a top seed, the best defensive team in the tournament.
That was a good matchup.
Let me say this. We'll get our shot here in a moment, but I don't think he can feel as bad, or does it feel a less worse hurt-wise if you're a Nebraska fan? And I ask this, seeing what A&M did to Houston last night, and they did the same thing to Houston as they did Nebraska, and Houston has some pros. Houston has, they won, but they fouled out four of their starters that are as athletic and as quick as what A&M has. And there was no stopping Wade. There was no, and that kid shot like he had a blindfold on. You want to talk about coming back to earth? The streakiness of Mr. Wade. He was 5 of 24, but still had damn near 20 points and hit every big three down the stretch. I mean, they had a 13-3 run to close things out. And old Garcia drilled the only three of his life to send it to overtime. But my point is you saw what they did to Houston a second time. Right, they played them in the regular season. They were down 21 and closed like a freight train. Listen, Friday was a surprise. Not that Nebraska lost; it's that they just got destroyed.
Blitzed.
They got blitzed, and I'm not knocking or bagging on Nebraska. They played their heart out, but they couldn't match up, and they had no answer. We'll have some comments from Fred and company, but it was just a tough matchup, and Fred just wasn't making excuses. He said what it was, and A&M is a different basketball team, and they are playing like the preseason accolades that they received, the best team in the SEC. Well, they're no longer alive, but, man, they looked like it for about 2.5 quarters since March Madness started off. 489-1240, 800-825-5865. Also take some of your comments in the stream. We'll get to plenty of spring football as it was underway, but was the loss and the way it went down a surprise to you as a Nebraska basketball fan? Creighton, God love you. And I know there's some Nebraska fans that are not ever going to feel that way, but that was gutsy. That was a gutsy double overtime win against Dana and Oregon. And Creighton had enough gas in the tank. They are headed to Detroit. That and the Houston game were the two best games of the weekend. And you saw some overtime. You saw some drama. You saw guys making plays, making shots. Brandon is in first. He got in right before four. Tim checks in, says, "Hey, y'all, run the damn ball time." Tim's all ready for football. Mike Corgan, he says, "What's up? Delightful parting gifts." Justin is here. NASCAR Eric says, "What's up?" NASCAR Eric made his run to Memphis. Tuck says, "What's up?" Finally, he is in the top five. Brennan from the Black Hills says he is back. And we have more comments. Rewind 2001, on to spring football. Mr. Snitley is in. Jeff Snitley, good year for everyone who went chalk with their brackets and took all the higher seeds. Scott checks in, says hello, and also you have Nick checking in, posing a question of the day. I had a patient the other day and asked me where I see myself in 5 years. Where do you guys see Nebraska and college football in the next 5 years? I'll say it like this, Nebraska football in the next 5 years better be and needs to be still in the Big Ten. They need to be in the AAU. Okay.
Two monster boxes that need to be checked.
Let's just get the old big old crayon and just check that off like we're playing Keno. And Nebraska needs to be in that top 4 to 5 range. I don't care what the Big Ten looks like. Right? We just talked to start the show about the gift of high expectations. And you need to not just get there once, but you need to reload. It needs to be a consistent thing. And as long as Matt Rhule is here and he's practicing the way he's practicing and he's recruiting the way he's recruiting, but more importantly, he's developing with his plan where it allows you to reload high-level talent, and he feels pretty good about his talent level moving forward, then you can be there. You got to clean up, and we'll talk with Jay Moore about this. You got to clean up those things that keep 3 points just outside your reach, and 3 points being turnovers, 3 points being a missed play on special teams, and special teams weren't awful, but some return game and a quarterback making a play, you know, being able to rely on a run game and then getting a stop on defense, getting off the field on third down, especially if it's third down and 9, that was a bit problematic. So, yeah, I expect Nebraska basketball to be knocking on that tournament door 3 out of every 5 years. And I think Fred, that's kind of his bar as well. I think that's doable. And I think Nebraska football, year in, year out, as this playoff continues to expand, we're going to be at 14, not far after we're at 12 for the college football landscape. Be in the Big Ten, be in the top echelon, the topper tier from a recruiting and NIL and a development standpoint, and be able to go toe-to-toe, Elijah and Connor, like Nebraska used to, where, all right, Nebraska was in it all the time when it comes to the Big 12 and the Big 8. Different leagues, clearly. You had to beat Colorado and Oklahoma in the Big 8. Had to contend with Texas and Oklahoma and Kansas State and Colorado, typically in the Big 12, as you grew your league. Now, what's Michigan's sustainability look like? What's Washington's rebound look like? Does Oregon keep on doing their thing with that SEC blueprint from Lanning? I think they do. What's USC like? That's just some of the newbies that are coming in. Where's Iowa adjust? Are they still 8-4 and on a bad day for you, and on a good day for them, they beat you 30-7 because they just suffocate you? What's Minnesota look like? What's Illinois look like? Where's Northwestern go? All these teams that you've not had great sustained success against post-Bo. And as we look into the future, we shake that crystal ball. Nick, thanks for the question. Yeah, Nebraska needs to be right there with the Penn States, the Michigans, and Ohio State. Right now, they are loading for bear. They are in it to win it, and it's really not a choice, I don't think, for OHIO. They are just geared up and ready to take things to a new level, despite all of their air quote losses and turnover. So that's what I say. That's where we're at with our starting five. More of your comments coming up here in the stream. Welcome to do it that way. You can always email. Jeff also checks in. Chris@HaleVarsity.com. What do you see? What do you guys see for year five moving into the future of an unknown and unstable world of college football? You better get good, and you better get like your other peers in the league to have a place at the adult table. And right now there's two tables. It's a giant Thanksgiving. It's the SEC and it's the Big Ten. I don't know if you get relegated, but who's to say that it doesn't get dicey if you don't start being what you're supposed to be and being Nebraska when they brought you in?
Well, the question to me is what can Nebraska show in year two that shows recruits that the trajectory is moving upward? You showed enough in year one to show a guy like Dylan Raiola that the trajectory is here. Obviously, you had a great opportunity at quarterback for a guy like that, which made it a little bit unique. Now that you've gotten that first year win, that first true recruiting class win, what can you show in year two? What can you do with those guys and prove it to your next recruiting class, to the class of 25, to the class of 26, to the class of 27, that, you know what, Nebraska is not just a team in the Big Ten, they're a player within the Big Ten, and they are going to be coming for Big Ten titles every single year. That's what you got to show to be able to try to take a chunk out of the teams like Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State, the teams that really rule the roost in terms of recruiting. What can you show in year two to be able to go grab some of those guys? Because as we know, in the era of conference expansion, recruiting hotbeds, the fertile grounds where teams traditionally go, are going to be changing. the West Coast might be a little more open for business. You look at Texas, it might be a little more open for business, especially with how much rural likes going down there. What can you show those guys in year two that proves to them, you know what, Nebraska's in the upward trajectory, and by the time I get there, this is going to be a place that is a player in college football. Mm-hmm.
I think you can kind of look back to see what Fred did on the basketball side. Now, granted, it was in year four, not year two, but the fact that you're able to build momentum and then carry that over, piggybacking off of what Elijah just said, you can't just be like, poof, oh my goodness, all of a sudden we're good at football. You need to have something to build off of. And yes, it was a unique situation for Raiola to come in, but at the same time, he knew that he was kind of the missing piece, or a guy like his caliber, at least last season, seemed to be a huge missing piece for that team to be a step away from really big-time success. They probably would have made a bowl game had the quarterback play been better. So the fact that you're able to have a chance at building a better foundation, and I only go to Fred because of the momentum that they built at the end of, I guess, two seasons ago now, leading into this past year. So if you're able to build any sense of momentum like that, obviously the fan support is there, the facilities are there, the brand is there, the conference is there, the opponents are there. All you got to do is show your results just a little bit. And I think that that's
going to
take
work.
Them. Yeah, I mean,
it's so easier than to cheat off Timmy.
I know.
And Timmy is way better at math
Let's
than
see,
I am.
Can we get the play sheet
answer.
From Ann Arbor?
It's the same answer. Oh, he showed a lot of work.
It will be interesting to see what Husker basketball can do this upcoming offseason. I equate making the tournament and losing in the first round to making a bowl game. That's like going 8-4,
sure.
7-5. I'll be curious to see what type of NIL resources they're working with this offseason. You can kind of, it's different, obviously, with the sport of football, because football will always have the NIL resources. But just what can that Husker basketball build look like in this upcoming offseason? What can Fred Hoiberg sell to recruits? Because I think it can be a similar story with football. Once you get things rolling in the right direction, that sell job makes the NIL dollars go a little bit further.
Well, and the thing that Fred's nailed the last 2 years is fit. Guys that fit the locker room, fit how he wants them to play. More of your comments coming up at Hail Varsity with you on a Monday, powered by Cornhead Lager.